Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, perfectional renunciation, text 33. And we'll read a few verses here. Tritya yaya daryate manak prayendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya priti saparta satviki tritya determination yaya by which Daryate, one sustains manaha of the mind, prana, life, indriya, and senses, kriya, the activities, yogena, by yoga practice, avyabhicharinya, without any break. Triti, determination, sa, that, partha, asanaprita, satviki, in the mode of goodness. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Asanaprita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness, a yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Purport. Yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. One who is steadily fixed in the Supreme Soul, with determination, concentrating one's mind, life, and sensory activities on the Supreme, engages in Krishna consciousness. That sort of determination is in the mode of goodness. The word avyabhicharinya is very significant, for it indicates that persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are never deviated by any other activity. Text 34. Yatu dharma karma artan dritya daryate juna prasangena pralakangshi driti saparta rajasi. For that determination by which one holds fast the fruit of results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, or Arjuna. Purport. Any person who is always desirous of fruit of results in religious or economic activities, whose only desire is sense gratification, and whose mind, life, and senses are thus engaged, is in the mode of passion. Text 35. Ya swapnam vayam shokam vishadam adam evacha nivimuchati dormeda shriti saparta tamasi. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O Sanaprita, is in the mode of darkness. Purport, it should not be concluded that a person in the mode of goodness does not dream. Here, dreaming is too much sleep. Dreaming is always present, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Dreaming is a natural occurrence. For those who cannot avoid oversleeping, who cannot avoid the pride of enjoying material objects, who are always dreaming of lording it over the material world, and whose life, mind, and senses are thus engaged, are considered to have determination in the mode of ignorance. So Lord Krishna has talked about workers in the mode of goodness. Well, the workers, the work, intelligence. And now he's talking about determination. So, determination. Dritya, what we decide. In other words, with our intelligence, with our mind, with the work in front of us, according to what kind of worker we are, etc. Ultimately, what is our decision? What are we going to do? There are certain choices. We can engage in yoga, of which the simplest is chanting Hare Krishna and hearing chanting about Krishna. Or we can engage in passion, as mentioned here. we don't know actually what's to be done and what's not to be done. Vidya. In other words, there can be a determination. Let's make money. Let's get ahead in the world. Let's make economic improvement. That's also determination. Why waste our time just hearing and chanting about Krishna? There's so many other important things to do. And in ignorance, the determination is, why should I hear and chant about Krishna? Why should I even bother trying to get ahead in the material world, improve my economic situation? Why don't I just go to sleep and happy? Why get involved in all these things? Eat, sleep, and be merry. So that determination, of course, we can hear all we like about how we should be engaged in 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. But we won't become convinced, because the last thing that will be explained here is happiness. One in the mode of ignorance, he actually feels some happiness sleeping. Did you ever notice that when you're tired and the bed is near, your eyes are closing? It feels really good, especially if you have a warm blanket, nice pillow, teddy bear next to you. Then the whole world seems good. And if you're hungry, doesn't matter what's in front of you, it all tastes like nectar. After every feast day, doesn't matter what the prasadam is like, except if it's, hopefully it's not burned too much. But it's all wonderful. Now, one who wants is more on the subtle platform. Therefore, one will work as little as possible, but just enough to get something to eat, a place to sleep. And if you have enough energy, sex may be there. And of course, hopefully it doesn't take too much to defend. But in the mode of passion, you think, my friends are eating better than I am. I'm just eating some chapati and they have more butter on it, so I better get a job. Because I can't stand being subordinate to anyone. I can't stand that someone's doing better than I am in the material world. They have better sense gratification than I do. So somehow or another, I'm going to get the means by which I can compete. Their house is 1 meter bigger than mine. So therefore, I'm going to work 24 hours a day to get that extra meter. Their car is 1 year older than mine is. So whatever it takes, I'm going to get that newer car and drive it right in front of his house and hung on so he can come out and see it. So that determination, because it takes determination. One in the mode of ignorance may think like that. But he'll never do anything to work 24 hours a day. He doesn't have enough passion. He thinks like that and dreams about, I don't care what size my house is, as long as I can dream it's big, I have a big house. I don't have to actually get a big house, and I just have to dream about it and drive my car in my dream in front of his house and honk the horn, and I feel good. And that's all it is. That's all people are really trying to do, is feel good. So if you can feel good in the mode of ignorance, why not the mode of ignorance? If you feel good in the mode of passion, actually have the car and honk your horn in front of your friend's house, he comes out and says, oh, it's a year old, newer than mine. You defeated me. I surrender. You're God. Oh God, give me your blessings. And the mode of goodness, one thinks this is all not very important. What's important is the spiritual world. The mode of ignorance, the dream world is important. The mode of passion, this external world is important. And the mode of goodness, or transcendental, the spiritual world is important. So whatever the circumstances one may be under, one chants Hare Krishna and tries to hear the most about Krishna and serve him under any circumstance. So that's determination, the mode of goodness. Now, most of that is determined by what we're hearing. Because people will glorify anything, how wonderful it is to be a heroin addict. And if not a heroin addict, that may be a little extreme nowadays. But I remember when I was in college, my roommates, when I was in freshman year, my roommates would always on the weekend go out and drink beer. I never drank with them. I just stayed at home and did my homework. And now they come back home drunk all the time, completely intoxicated. But they thought that was their duty. That was what they're supposed to do. That was life. They couldn't conceive of doing anything else on the weekend. It's not that I had that many opportunities either, but I never had a taste for that. But anyhow, that was their existence. And then I'm sure they, when they got together, they talked about the different kinds of beers and the effects of how many drinks you had or whatever. So that was their kata. And because that was their kata, that was their existence, at least on the weekend. So it wasn't difficult to being an honor student at the university because there wasn't much competition. So if we hear about, if we associate with Satsanga Tyaga Vaishnava Char or Pungsa Striya, what was that? Pumsa, no, Savai Pumsa, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhunkte Prakriti Janganan, Karna Guna Sangha Sya, Sar Asad Yona Janmisu. The living entity says, follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes. This is due to their association with those modes, thus they meet with good and evil amongst the various species. So the modes are so contaminating that just by vibration, of course we don't see vibration, most of us, but vibration is so powerful, just like my voice here is spreading all over the room. Any part of the room, you could hear what I'm saying, especially with the microphone. So we don't see it, so we don't really take it seriously. Oh, it's just a sound vibration. But that sound vibration is governing our entire existence as much as we accept it. Of course, we didn't walk into this building right now, into the temple room. We didn't come with a blank slate. We came with a whole conception of what reality is. And we have different degrees of receptivity. Receptivity means that let me hear and maybe I'll learn something. Or the other side in the mode of ignorance, let me go there, I'm a little tired, and if I have to, if I don't like the class, I'll just go to sleep. It's warm in the temple room, so there won't be a problem. The other attitude is, maybe he'll say something to improve my life. He knows something about yoga and astrology. Maybe he'll say something about that. Or maybe he'll talk about how to eat better. So something practical. Rather than just hear about Krishna and chant about this vibration, the importance of hearing. I heard that a million times. And I've never, well, I officially believe it. And I may have had some experience some time ago, but I can't remember what the experience was. So that depends, you know, if we're actually anxious to learn how to hear and chant about Krishna, about the glories of opening our ears and opening our hearts so that we can allow the sound vibration to come into our minds so we can remember what Krishna looks like. We could try to feel his presence. We could try to understand our relationship with him. Try to change our attitude towards him. So that's determination of the mode of goodness. Somehow or another, try to understand the subtleties of Krishna consciousness. Because it's subtle. It's not just doing things. It's not just even hearing about things. It's not even just understanding things. It's a whole change of attitude, a whole change of conception of existence. So therefore it says, with everything, even the life here, everything engaged in Krishna's service, in yoga. And in the mode of passion, everything is engaged in passion, running after the carrot at the end of the stick. To be successful in the material world, you have to be determined. You can't get deviated by Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was talking to Donovan, who's a famous singer at that time, a friend of the Beatles. I don't know if you've ever heard of Donovan. Probably not. Never became that famous. But he was famous during my time. Donovan. Oh, you've heard. Well, you know music, but... What's that? I awaken someone's memories, at least. What's that? Yeah, he was very well known for some time. Anyhow, so he came to see Prabhupada because a lot of famous musicians in England at that time were coming to see Prabhupada, especially because of George Harrison. So Shamasundar was arranging it. But he happened to bring his girlfriend with him in a mini dress. You know what a mini dress is? It's practically no dress. And as soon as Prabhupada started to talk to Donovan, this girl knew if Donovan hears too much, then I'm finished. So immediately said, you know, I'm really tired. I think I have a headache, Donovan. I think we should go. Let's get out of here. You stay here, you know, my life with you is going to be finished. Same thing happened with Oko. Oko, is that her name? Yoko. Yoko. What's that? Yoko Ono, that's why. Prabhupada was talking to John Lennon at Tittenhurst, because Prabhupada was staying there for some time. And he was trying to explain to the Beatles at that time. George Harrison was there, Yoko was there, John Lennon was there. And he was trying to explain Krishna consciousness. As a matter of fact, if you can see, that's one of the books, I think it's called. What is the book called? Chant and Be Happy. So at one point, you know, Yoko says, I have a headache. Let's go. Let's go and take heroin. That's what she was saying. Because she was not a transcendentalist. She did not want to get contaminated by Prabhupada's transcendental vibration. Especially because, you know, an ordinary devotee, they didn't mind. Because the ordinary devotees would practically be as intoxicated as they were. They're still suffering from the intoxication. So therefore their sound didn't really change anyone's heart. But she realized, well, this is a problem. This is a problem. He may become actually attracted to this transcendentalist and give up sense gratification, and you know, then I'm out of the picture. So suddenly she gets a headache, weapon, maybe a tear or two. Let's get out of here. We're getting contaminated. We're getting affected by this because we hear. And then we awakened a little bit, this determination, a little determination, maybe I should chant Hare Krishna every day. Because people aren't, if this is just, you know, chant Hare Krishna once, come to the festival, no problem. Because you'll, and as soon as you walk out the room, you'll forget everything. You'll even, no problem, you can come to class once as well, because you're not going to remember anything. It's when you start practicing that the problems start happening. When you start doing it every day, you actually take it seriously, then you give up sense gratification. And if you give up sense gratification, its economic development goes out the window. And therefore our happy life of eating, sleeping, mating, defending gets threatened. Not only you stop becoming interested in advancing your economic development for sense gratification, but you might even stop sense gratification. And then our romance is over. So, therefore, most people get affected when they get into bad association, and especially the worst association of the people who are awake to the fact that this is dangerous, this Hare Krishna movement. It could actually change someone's character, and it could change their determination and change it from improving their economic development or even having their appreciation of sense gratification to even taking seriously serving Krishna and hearing and chanting about him and glorifying him and thinking about him and having determination to serve him. Therefore, the conclusion is, if we become serious, then we'll become serious about hearing and chanting about Krishna in service, and we shouldn't be afraid that my economic development will decrease. My determination to get ahead in the material world, that I actually have to go before my friends and tell them that my income has gone down this year. Oh my God, you're becoming a failure. Your life is going downhill. That my car, I stayed in the same old car I had last year. Oh my God, what do these Hare Krishnas do to you? What's your life going to come to? And if you tell them you're actually eating less and sleeping less, and you don't have as many girlfriends as you used to have, and you gave up your karate class, people think, oh, this Hare Krishna movement is dangerous. It actually changes people's lives for the worse. And not only that, he's smiling, so at least he didn't give up intoxication. So he said, as a conclusion, is we have to see where our determination is going by our activities. Whether we're actually trying to improve our material life, whether we're trying to enjoy whatever sense gratification we have available, even as devotees. If my mind is on the feast rather than on Krishna, it's not a good sign. It's not a bad sign, at least it's prasadam. If I'm still dreaming that, you know, if Krishna doesn't give me what I want, I'll go home to my mom. She'll give me what I want. So we have to watch our minds. We have to watch our activities. We have to watch our intelligence, our understanding. So we develop more determination, as will be explained in the next verse, by getting a higher taste. In other words, the promise of thinking about Krishna and associating with him means that we should actually experience another realm of happiness, which we're not presently experiencing. Otherwise, why would we go through this? If the highest happiness was actually eating nicely and sleeping nicely, etc., then why shouldn't we go for that? And if there was even more happiness in getting better eating, better sleeping, better mating and defending, why shouldn't we do that? Only if there's greater happiness in thinking about Krishna, experiencing Krishna consciousness, can we actually become determined to follow that path and improve that more and more. Otherwise, we'll be attracted to the other again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Sometimes even our movement, we have, because it's not here in Slovenia, luckily, because it's nice and isolated. But sometimes even our movement, our leaders got into this competitive mood that someone else got a temple bigger than mine, send out all the brahmacharis to do the collection. So who cares whether they hear and chant about Krishna? Something more important is at stake, my prestige. So they're out there on the pick, pick means going out in collection. And they finally get the building, and someone said, wow, look at that. They got a bigger building than we did. All right, all the brahmacharis out, brahmacharinis out there for the collection. Let's get more bigger than, we'll show them. No one's going to defeat us. So that's all right if it's transcendental book distribution or some preaching like that. Because the idea is if the devotees are actually trying to help others become Krishna conscious, then they'll understand the value, then Krishna will reciprocate. And they'll experience Krishna consciousness themselves. But if it's something mundane, like getting a bigger building than someone else, or even just the sake of keeping everyone out so that we're the first on the newsletter, we don't really care if the brahmacharis are hearing about Krishna at all. Let them go out and sell incense or records or anything. And let everyone else go out and hand out the books for free at the end of the day. So we win the marathon. That's also mundane. Won't last very long. In other words, everyone needs to fill their minds with Krishna consciousness and experience Krishna, experience his presence, experience the love exchange between Krishna and his devotees, the bliss of that. That's the only thing that will actually keep us going on the path. Otherwise, if we fill our minds with theory and our actual activities and thoughts are, you know, something else, something about some romance or some big building on down the block or something, that would not be very happy. That would not be very conducive to our actually experiencing what Krishna consciousness is all about. So, yes, any questions? You have the microphone. Anyone who has a microphone has to ask a question. You don't have to, sorry. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Do you have any advice how to, when we read, how to remember more? If we have, let's say, a goal to read 1 hour and more per day, how can we remember more?
More? Read a little bit, close the book, see if you remember it. If you can't remember it, then go back and read it again. And then open the book, read it a little bit more, close the book and see if you remember it. And then 1 hour after you close the book, see what you can remember. And if you can't remember it, go back to the book and read it again. And if you really want to remember it, then read something important, close the book and write it down, see what you remember. Then open the book and fill in what you forgot. And then go back and see if you remember it again, write it down again without having the book open. So we don't have to remember a whole lot, we have to learn how to remember a little bit. And then periodically see if we can remember it. And in other words, especially important things, things that we can apply in our lives. Not just for the sake of remembering, otherwise, you can get a parrot to remember the whole Bhagavad Gita in probably a shorter time than we can remember. But the parrot's not going back to God. So we should remember important things that we can apply. Then, when they become experienced or realized, we'll never forget them. So it's not important to remember unusually large amounts of things. It's important to remember important things that we can apply and realize, experience. That's the important thing. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is quite simple. It's extremely simple, absolutely simple. So we become Krishna conscious, and we remember Krishna, we don't have to remember anything else. Just like I said, one of the devotees, disciples of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda, when he was over 100 years old, one of our devotees went to see him and Brajavihari Vru and said, Puri Maharaj, it's me, Brajavihari. Puri Maharaj said, well, sorry, I can't remember who you are. He said, I'm over 100 years old now, I can't remember anything. The only thing I can remember is Krishna. That's all you have to remember. And then everything's perfect. If you forget everything else except for Krishna, there's no problem. Anything else? Kala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.